2 Samuel chapter 5, I'll catch up with you in just a moment or two. 2 Samuel chapter number 5, over the past several services, we've been looking at David, God's beloved king. I've said to you in previous services that his name actually means to love, and he loved God, and God loved him, and he was a man after God's own heart, the Bible tells us, and he loved the heart of God, he knew the heart of God, and God knew him, and God knew his heart. There was a real heart connection between David and God. He is God's beloved king. He's not the first king that Israel ever had, but he is God's chosen king. God allowed them to have a king prior to King David. After they demanded to be like all the other nations, God gave them their way. It was the people's choice to have a king, but this is God's choice. It's God's beloved king. His name is David. In our previous services, I preached to you a little bit out of 1 Samuel 16 about the choice of the beloved king. We discovered how God chose this beloved king while he was still just a young man, just a lad, just a shepherd shepherding his father's sheep whenever God showed up in the man named Samuel, and God sent him there to anoint the next king. And God's choice for a king, Saul had rebelled against God, had an unrepentant heart, and God was going to move him off the scene, and well, of his family, the dynasty was over. There would be no dynasty for Saul. And God was going to remove him, and God revealed to Samuel that he had a king set aside, and a man after his own heart. Didn't know it was just a little fella out there, just a young man out there tending his father's sheep, but he found that out quickly. And when he went down to Bethlehem to offer a sacrifice and told Jesse to bring his sons, and he brought his sons, and they passed before Samuel, and not a one of them was God's choice. They looked like they would be kings, especially the eldest one, Eliab. But that wasn't God's choice. Listen, God doesn't look on the outside, on the countenance, but God looks on the heart. And God doesn't see like man sees, and man doesn't see like God does. And God chose that little shepherd boy to be the very next king of Israel. And the choice of the beloved king. We spent some time talking in the same service about the character of the beloved king, and I said to you already that his character has been revealed. God said about this boy that he was a man after God's own heart. You should know that about him, and that is through the ups and the downs, through the good times and the bad times, whether he was on a mountain or down in a valley, and God said about his character that he's a man after God's own heart. And he was, he always was. A man after God's own heart. You say, how do you know that he was a man after God's own heart? We know the crimes that he committed. That is the adultery and the impregnation. We know about the murder to cover it all up. And how could it be after God's own heart? I tell you the reason why. When you see him broken over his sin in Psalm 51, crying out to God for mercy, then you know that this man is a man after God's own heart. And he was. The character of this beloved king. We spend some time then looking as well last Sunday evening at the covenant of the beloved king, that God made a covenant in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. God made a covenant that looked way beyond this man named David, that looked beyond his son Solomon who would reign after him, and looked beyond the dynasty of David, and looked forward to a time when there was going to be a son of David, a descendant of David that would be reigning upon the throne of David and would reign forever, have an eternal kingdom and reign forever. It's looking forward to the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior himself. And I said to you that, listen, the issue of David is bigger than David. The story of David is not the story about David, it's a story about God and God's purpose and God's plan to bring his son into the world. And you and I should know that. The covenant of the beloved king. And so this past Wednesday night, I began preaching a little bit about what I referred to as the conquest of the beloved king. God raised up this king named David so that he might defeat the enemies of God. And that is, he is a real conqueror. This guy is a champion. He's a hero. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I will look up to David, and many do, I believe, look up to David as God's choice to defeat the enemy. He is a conqueror. That is, Saul left the nation divided. Saul left the nation in trouble. And during the reign of Saul, their neighbors around them invaded and took territory. But it's this man David that's going to conquer the enemy, bring the nation together, and also prosper the nation and expand its borders, and they would become wealthy once again. David is God's man. He is a conqueror, this beloved king was. And we began looking at that. We discovered that he was a conqueror during the time that he was a shepherd, that is, the shepherd of his father. That even while he was a shepherd, the shepherding the father's sheep, there was a lion that came and took one of those little sheep, and David chased it down and grabbed that little lamb out of the mouth of the lion and grabbed that lion by the beard and took him down to the ground and killed him. Same thing with a bear. And I tell you the reason why is it was a foreshadowing. According to what David's son Solomon wrote in the Proverbs, it was a foreshadowing of the fact that David, ladies and gentlemen, would also take down the wicked rulers of the day. If he can take down a lion, he can take down a bear, he can take down the wicked kingdoms of his day, and he did. Even while he was still a shepherd of his father, he took on a great giant named Goliath, and we told the story and looked at it this past Wednesday night, and with just a slingshot and a smooth stone, he took him down, cut his head off, and carried it around for a little while. That is, David the conqueror, he was a conqueror during the time that he was just a shepherd of his father. We discovered in the service this morning that he also was still a conqueror when he became a soldier of the king. And that is, we discovered that Saul the king saw David take down Goliath, wanted to know who he was, and made him a part of his family. That is, brought him into his court, and David was there with him. He was appointed as a leader of his army, a leader in his army. And while he was there leading in his army, accomplished great victories over the enemies around them, over the Philistines and other enemies around them. He led the army to victory. That is, David, they became very popular among the people. And there was the enemy from the outside that he defeated, but there was also, while he was still a soldier of the king, the enemy from the inside, from within, that he had to deal with as well. And that was a jealous king, a paranoid king, a demon-possessed and demon-affected king named Saul. And that is that God had removed his spirit from him, allowed an evil spirit to come upon him, and as a result he was paranoid, as a result he was fearful, as a result he was scared of David and fearful of him and tried to kill him on more than one occasion. He tried to throw a javelin to kill him, and David escaped every time, and finally he escaped from his presence and lived as a fugitive. I said in the service this morning, many Bible scholars believe for nearly 10 years that he lived as a fugitive, hiding in caves and from place to place from Saul and his army that was out to destroy him. This man, ladies and gentlemen, is under the gun, so to speak. And that is, he has got a target on his back. The enemies of God are out to destroy him. And that is, this man who not only can take down Goliath, but is next in line to sit upon the throne, and Saul knows that he is, and Jonathan knows that he is, and David is under the gun. Saul has issued the order for his servants and his military to take him out, that is, to kill him as soon as they can find him, and God rescued him from that. That is, he rescued him, he protected him from Saul, who was out to destroy him. And God protected him all during those times, all during those years, until finally there came that time that Saul died on the battlefield, killed himself on the battlefield, and David then is going to ascend to the throne, and he's going to become the king of Israel. And while he is the sovereign king of Israel, he continues to be a victorious conqueror. He was victorious, he was a conqueror during the time that he was the shepherd of his father. He was a conqueror during the time that he was a soldier of his king. He was a conqueror now. We're going to find out why he is the sovereign of his nation, that is, the king over his nation. You read about it here in 2 Samuel chapter number 5. If you're there, we'll look at it. In 2 Samuel chapter number 5, the Bible tells us, then came all the tribes of Israel to David and to Hebron. Now listen, David has already been acknowledged by the tribe of Judah. That is, that's the tribe that he was a part of. And the tribe of Judah has already acknowledged that this is God's king for Israel, and they have acknowledged that and crowned him, but the nation is divided. And now finally, after some persuasion, and after God is moving, and after a period of time, they have begun to come together and recognize that this is God's man for their nation. So the Bible says all the tribes of Israel, they came to David to Hebron, and they spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And that is that we're all Israelites, and we're all in the same family. We've been divided, and they've been divided between Saul and David. And Saul had his loyal people, and David had his, and there was this conflict for many years. And now the same, we recognize we're all the same family. And in times past, when Saul was king over us, verse 2, thou was he that led us out and brought us into Israel. That is, even while Saul was still king, you were leading the army and going out and coming in and leading them to victory. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. God, recognizing what God has said, this is their shepherd. That is, the one who shepherded his father's sheep is now going to be the shepherd of the nation. He's going to oversee them. He's going to feed them. He's going to lead them. He's also going to be their military leader, their captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel, the Bible says in verse number 3, they all came to the king, to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David. Hey, look now. They anointed David king over Israel. He was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. Listen to me. That's been years since that day that Samuel came with that horn of oil. Down near the Bethlehem, it's been years since he came and anointed young Jesse's son, that is David, with that horn of oil and said he's going to be the next king, and the Spirit of God came upon him. It's been years. Some Bible scholars estimate up to 20 years. It may not have been quite that many, but it's been years since that happened. And David, during that time, ladies and gentlemen, has been through the ups and the downs of life. That is, there are times when he was winning great victories against the enemy, and then there's times when he's hiding in dark caves from Saul and his men. He's been through it. He's been on the mountain of victory, and he's been in the valley of despair. That is, Saul has. It's been through the ups and downs, but all the while during that time, God has been developing a king that he can use for his glory. It's not wasted time. Listen to me now. During those ups and downs, it's not a time period in which nothing is happening. God is growing him. God is bringing a team of people around him, of men around him, that would become loyal followers of David when he finally is sitting upon the throne. And listen, the years have passed, and God's been growing a little shepherd boy into a great king. And now the time has come for this king to be sitting upon the throne. And he's 30 years old, and he begins to reign upon the throne. He's going to reign for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all of Israel and Judah. Verse number 6, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem under the Jebusites and the inhabitants of the land, which spoke unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither. Thinking David cannot come in hither. That is, you can't come into the city of Jerusalem, which was not theirs yet. And nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. He took the city of David, which became, of course, Jerusalem, the city in which David would one day reign from. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind and that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captains. And wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. And David said, listen, anybody among my men that can climb in through the water, that is the water channel, you can climb up the water channel. They listen, you can climb and get into this city through the water channel. Any one of my men that can get in there and bring down this city, then you're going to be the leader of my army. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David, and David built round about from Milo and inward, and David went on, and listen, the Bible says he grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. You should notice that last phrase, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord of armies. That is the one who is sovereign and in control. The Lord of hosts, ladies and gentlemen, the God of armies was indeed with him. And he was. And as a result of that, the Bible tells us this sovereign king, this monarch, this one who's reigning over Israel, that God placed on the throne, is going to be the great conquering king. He's going to overcome the enemies that have come against him, not only the enemies while he was a shepherd of his father, and not only while he was a soldier of the king, but now that he's a sovereign over his nation, the king over his nation, he's going to lead them in the victory. We see it right here in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. Here comes the Philistines. Now listen to me now. These are the same ones that the great giant Goliath came from. He was a Philistine. And now here they are. And listen, David has battled with them not only on that day as a shepherd of his father with his sling and his rock, but also whenever he was the soldier of King Saul, he also took on the Philistines, as we saw in the service this morning, and defeated them as well. And now here they are again, the sovereign of Israel, that is the king of Israel. They find out he's king, and here they come. And the Bible says that the Philistines, in verse 18, came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord. Listen to this, and you'll notice, well, know why in a little while. David inquired of the Lord. David said, God, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, and I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. God said, you go on up and you've got it. You're going to win the victory. And David came and David smote them. And he said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters, like the breaking of the dam of waters. God has allowed me to go forth against the enemy. Therefore, he'll call the name of the place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned their images, burned the idols of the Philistines. David defeated the Philistines, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why is because he obeyed the voice of God. He did what God said to do. Here's the king now leading the nation into victory over the enemies. He is indeed a great conqueror. And there's the enemies on the outside of the nation, the Philistines as an example, and he expands the borders and defeats others as well. We see it in 2 Samuel chapter number 8 and verse number 1, where the Bible says, and after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Methagammon out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab, the Moabites, by the way. He smote them as well and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even the two lines measured he put to death, and with one full line he kept alive. In other words, the Bible says he killed one out of the three. As he was taking on the Moabites, and the reason why is because he had a great-great-grandma was a Moabite. You might know her. Her name was Ruth. And so he had compassion on them and didn't completely destroy them, the Bible says. So the Moabites became David's servants, and they brought gifts in verse number 2. And David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehoboth, king of Zobah, and he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen, 20,000 footmen. And David hold all the chariot horses and reserved of them for 100 chariots. Verse 5, and when the Syrians of Damascus came to succor this king, David slew all the Syrians and 22,000 men. Verse number 6, then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants of David and brought gifts. And the Lord, listen to this, the Lord preserved David, protected David whithersoever he went. He went in each direction. He went north. He went south. He went east and he went west. And defeated the enemies on the outside, expanding the borders. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you all this land. He outlined the land that he promised to them. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not until David becomes king that the enemies around them, not under Joshua, but it's under David, that those enemies are now being defeated and destroyed as a result of this great conquering king. As the sovereign king of Israel, David knew that he knew what God wanted him to do, what God's purpose for it was for him to do, and so he pursued the enemies of Israel. That is, the enemies on the outside. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that we also have enemies as well. That is, the people of God have enemies that are out to destroy the people of God, like they were out to destroy David and the Israelites. We have a great king over us. Like Israel had a great king. And our great king is the conqueror. He's the one who has defeated the enemy and continues to defeat the enemy. And you and I rest and live from that victory. Our great king is none other than the one who is seated upon the throne of David and will be forever and ever and ever. And he's defeated the great enemies of the people of God. Now, our enemies are spiritual in nature. We're talking about the enemy of death. We're talking about the enemy of sin. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the enemy of Satan, the world, and the flesh. And I tell you, they've been defeated by our Lord. Our Lord defeated the flesh in his own life. Our Lord defeated the world, overcame the world, and ladies and gentlemen, he defeated the devil. He is completely victorious over every enemy, that we face. Every demon of hell has been defeated by him. The devil has been defeated by him. I know the devil's a roaring lion, ladies and gentlemen. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour, but he is a defeated lion. He is a defeated foe. Our great champion, our great Lord, that is our great conqueror, has defeated the devil and all of his demons. And that's the reason why, listen to me now, that's the reason why you don't have to live a life of defeat, you don't have to live under the influence of demonic traffic in your life. That is, that you can live in victory, and the reason why is because of our great conqueror who has defeated the Lord of the Philistines, that is, the one who has come against us. The roaring lion has been defeated, ladies and gentlemen. The great bear has been drugged down by his beard and defeated by our great champion. It is our Lord himself. Listen to me now. We are living from victory as the people of God. I hope y'all still with me. Here's what we find out about David when he was reigning as sovereign king over Israel And that is not only are there the enemies on the outside, but there's the enemies on the inside as well. Just like there was when he was serving as a soldier of King Saul. Remember when he was serving as a soldier, we found out there's the enemies on the outside, like the Philistines and the other people groups that David led Saul's army into war against and defeated them. And then we discovered there's an enemy from within, and it was the king himself, Saul, who was out to destroy David. Even so, when David became the sovereign king over Israel, there's the enemies without, the Philistines and the other people groups that we read about in chapter number 8 that he defeated. But there's also the enemy from within as well. Now it's not Saul anymore. Saul is dead. But there's still an enemy from within. You see, when God's people are living for God and we think about the enemies, ladies and gentlemen, they're the enemies on the outside, but they're also the enemies on the inside. There's the enemies from without that are attacking from without, but they're also the enemies from within that are attacking from within. And in the case of David, there was an enemy from within that David had to face off against. And ladies and gentlemen, it was his own son, Absalom. Now you remember the story, don't you? And that is that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And as a result of the adultery that he committed with Bathsheba, he tried to cover up. She became pregnant, and he tried to cover up his sin by having her husband Uriah on the battlefield and killed on the battlefield, essentially set up his own murder. And you remember the story, and as a result of that, David, after a period of time, was confronted by Nathan the prophet, and after Nathan confronted him with his sin, he got broken over his sin and repented, and Nathan told him that God has forgiven you of all your sin, but he said there's going to be consequences. The sword is not going to leave your house. You're going to have all kinds of problems as a result of that. And David reaped the consequences. Although God had forgiven him, there were consequences for what it is that he had done. And there was a daughter that was raped, and there was Absalom that killed his brother Amnon, ladies and gentlemen, and trouble within their own house. And then there is the rebellion of Absalom himself that threatened the very throne of David, that is, threatened the kingdom of David, that threatened the reign of David. And we read about it in here in the book of 2 Samuel in chapter number 15. We'll look at it for just a few moments. But I just want to remind you that this rebellion is happening as a consequence of David's sin. But as David experienced the consequence of his sin, God protected him and guided him and delivered him and allowed him to continue to reign on the throne. 2 Samuel 15. Let's look at it for a few moments. Verse number 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now after Absalom murdered his brother, he was estranged from David for a period of time. And finally, they worked all of that out, and Absalom came back, and Absalom began the process of trying to get the Israelites to follow his leadership. He began to charm them. And Absalom started to become a celebrity. Now, David was a servant of the nation. David had served them faithfully. Listen, David is the one who fought for them, who stood for them, who defeated the enemy on behalf of the nation. Absalom did not. Absalom was nothing but a celebrity. Let me say it again. David was a champion who fought the battle. Absalom was nothing but a celebrity. He's a man who is trying to flatter the people to win their support. Not one who was in the trenches fighting for them, on the battlefield fighting for them, as David had been through the years. But he was one who tries to flatter them and make himself into a celebrity to win their support to overthrow the kingdom from his father. So Absalom now is at a point where he's got him some chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now listen, he's made himself a chariot. That is, it's like he's got an entourage. And it's like he's got his own stretched limo and cars before him and after him. He's got his own groupie people hanging around with him, and he's becoming a real celebrity. He's the kind of man now that if you got a vision of him, you want to take a picture and tell it to everybody you got to see him. He's becoming a celebrity. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. That is, when you come into the city gate, that's where the business is all done. So it was that whenever any man had a controversy, And they came to the king for judgment. Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel." In other words, he was sitting there at the city gate, and many Bible scholars believe that David may have been sick at this time, or he was just, for some reason, he was kind of out of commission. He wasn't able to do hear all of the cases and fulfill all of his responsibilities. It might have been disease, it might have been sickness, or something of like that. It may be that he was just being taken for granted. But there he was, absent, sitting at the city gate. And when people came to talk to David and have their judgment made by David, the Bible says there was Absalom to kind of run interference. He was there to kind of jump in between. He said, "Listen, you can talk to me. I'll hear your case." And Absalom said unto them in verse number 3, "See, thy matters are good and right. There's no man deputed of the king to hear thee." In other words, Absalom was saying, "You know what, I think you're right." Here they come with their case and their problems. And Absalom said, "Just talk to me about it. I love you all and I care about you. And just tell me about it." And they told him about their problem and said, "You're right, you're right, you're right, you're right." Everybody's right with Absalom. And that is, he was patting them on the back and flattering them with their words. "You're right. You know, you should talk to the king. Here's what you ought to do." Absalom said, moreover, in verse number 4, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." If I was just in a position of being the judge, of being the one to make the decision, if I was just the one, boy, I'd take care of y'all. I'd make sure that everything was great. If I was the one in charge, you wouldn't have anything to worry about. If I was." Verse number 5, "It was so that whenever any man came nigh or near to him to do obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him." Oh yeah, when they got around Absalom, listen, they came to him and now he's become such a celebrity, they want to come to him and bow down. "Oh no, don't bow down to me. Come over here and let me give you a little kiss of greeting." Oh, he's so flattering, isn't he? Everybody loves him. By the way, he just looks king. This guy is handsome. He's got the hair and he's got the looks. And everybody wants to look at him. And now he's kissing on them and he's telling them how right they are. Oh, listen to me now. Everybody loves. The Bible says in verse number 6, "On this manner did Absalom to all of Israel that came to the king for judgment." That is, he came to the king. He interfered. He flattered them. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel with his flattery. You know that's how the enemy operates, don't you? That's how the enemy operates. Flattery. "You're right. You've got to be right. Oh, don't bow down. Let me kiss you." Flattery after flattery. Impressing, impressing, impressing. Ladies and gentlemen, stealing their hearts. Changing their minds about David, about their king, God's beloved king. That's how rebellion starts. That's how it started here. So the Bible says in verse 7, "After came to pass that after 40 years of absence, said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow." That is, I want to have a party and I've made a vow and I want to go and fulfill my vow which I vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. "For thy servant vowed a vow which I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again, that is, bring me back to Jerusalem after this period of time away, estranged from his dad, then I'll serve the Lord." And the king said to him, "Go in peace." And so he arose and he went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem, David's men, that were called, and they went in their simplicity, that is, not knowing everything. They were simple in their knowledge, ladies and gentlemen, deceived by the flattery of Absalom, and so they followed after him, and they didn't know anything. That is, they didn't realize everything that was going on. They didn't know that Absalom was trying to destroy David, trying to bring down the kingdom. They were deceived. They were simpletons in that manner. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileadite, David's counselor from his city, one of David's trusted counselors rebelled against him, the Bible says, and began to follow after Absalom when he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually. The crowd that followed Absalom continued and continued and continued. And by the way, it's really interesting to me that this man, this counselor, this Ahithophel, is also, ladies and gentlemen, is also related to Bathsheba. Matter of fact, he's a grandfather. Bathsheba, remember her? Violated by King David. Impregnated by him. Her husband killed on the battlefield. Could it be that this man has carried a grudge all these years? Now the opportunity arises for him to get back at David. He's taking it. Absalom has risen up. He's going to go with him, and the conspiracy is strong, and people continue to increase and rebelling against him, the Bible tells us. And the Bible says in verse 13, there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. They've turned away from you, David. They've turned after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all of his household, his family. The king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites and the Peliathites, these are his personal guard, and all the Gileadites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, they actually came from Gath, passed on before the king. They were personal bodyguards of the king, and they were with him, that is, with King David. And the Bible tells us in verse 19, then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Wherefore camest thou but yesterday? Should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou, go back to the brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And it returned and became a spy for David. Here's what I want you to see. The Absalom rebellion is in full swing. David's position as king is under threat. He's had to flee from the city of Jerusalem. Absalom has secured many of David's men, but not all. The people are rising up with Absalom, being impressed by him, and taking David's reign now for granted, to say the least. The rebellion is in full swing. David finds out about it before they get to Jerusalem, escapes with his household, with his family, and with these men that are close to him. And he survives the initial onslaught, the rise in rebellion against Absalom. The Bible says in chapter number 16, when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said to Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such be as faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is the master's son? That is, Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. Where's Mephibosheth? That is, this is Jonathan's son. He's at Jerusalem. Today shall be the house of the Israel restored to the kingdom of my father. That is, God is going to restore it. And he said to the king, to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Brought him all the food and all that they needed to be able to survive. When the king David came to Behurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. I want you to hear this. He's traveling along, and there comes a man out of the house of Saul. Remember Saul, King Saul, that died on the battlefield, and that David replaced. His name was Shimei, the son of Gerar, and he came forth, and he cursed still as he came. Listen to me. He's throwing stones at David. Shimei is. David is escaping for his life. And here's somebody that knew Saul who's throwing stones at him as he's traveling along. And the Bible says that all the people and the mighty men that were on his right and on his left And Shimei, he even cursed him. Verse number 7, he says, come out, thou bloody man. Talking about David, thou man of Belial or Satan. You bloody man. Come out. From around those who are protecting you. Come out from among them. Face me. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because you're a bloody man. You're a bloody, bloody man, and now it's finally caught up with you. And your son Absalom's going to take you down and take over the kingdom. And he's throwing rocks at him, trying to destroy him. Listen to what Abishai said. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, what should this dead dog curse thee, my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And this guy would. Listen, if you read about this guy in the Bible, listen to me now. He had the ability to do it. Just let me go over there, and I'll take care of him right now. This guy that's throwing stones at you, I'll take him down. The king said, listen to David's heart, a man after God's own heart. The king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So just let him curse. Listen to this. Just let him curse. Because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall say then, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now can this Benjamite do to me? This man, throwing rocks at him. Listen to me. My son has rebelled against me, and he's trying to destroy me. You think I'm worried about this guy that's cursing me, throwing rocks at me? I'm not. Don't worry about him. It means nothing. Let him alone. Just let him curse. The Lord has bidden him, and maybe that the Lord will look on mine affliction. If the Lord may requite me good, for he is cursing this day, verse 13. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went through stones at him, just throwing dirt, dust at him. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. I'm just trying to get you to see that David is fleeing Jerusalem. Under threat by his own son, has rebelled against him. As he's going along, he has people throwing rocks at him, cursing him, throwing dirt at him, and he won't touch him. He's just leaving them alone. Trying to see what this great conqueror looks like. But here's what we know. And there's a God protected him from Absalom. And there's that Absalom's rebellion didn't work. And there's that David finally returned. Absalom died. Remember, he got his hair caught in a tree. He's running along in the battlefield. He has this long flowing hair of all. Everybody liked it, thought he's the best looking guy. And they probably needed a good haircut. I know a good barber. Anyway, he was flowing along and had this hair flowing, got it caught in a tree. And Joab heard about it and went over there and finished him off while he's hanging by his hair in a tree. And the rebellion is over, and David returns to the throne and continues to reign. Here's what you ought to know. This conquering king, like all of the rest of us, suffered the consequences of his bad decisions. But in the middle of all that consequence, God protected him. And he guided him. And he directed him. His heart was broken. When you read about David as he fled the city of Jerusalem, the Bible talks about the weeping and the crying as he passed out of the city. And yet, even though all of that was taking place, this man was victorious. He was a conqueror because he was God's beloved king, a man after God's own heart. Now, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you the secret of the reason why he was so victorious. The reason why he was so victorious, and I'm going to lay it out for you just simply and as quickly as I can. The reason why he was so victorious is because he operated by faith. He lived by faith, and he operated by faith. And the psalmist captures this for us. This is a psalm of David in Psalm 144, verse number 9. Listen to what it says. In Psalm 144, verse number 9, here's what David said. He said, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, I'm going to sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. But it wasn't David. It was God. It was God who did it. David just operated by faith. When I say operated by faith, here's what I mean, is that David listened to what God said and just obeyed him. One step at a time. Just one moment at a time, one battle at a time, he just heard from God and obeyed what God said to do. Let me give an example of that in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and you'll see that. Remember this chapter, don't you? We were in it not long ago, and this is the great Goliath battle. And this is whenever he's appearing before Saul and in his tent, and he's having this discussion with Saul, and the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, And in verse number 34, it says, And David said to Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear. Remember, the lion and the bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him. I preached on that just a couple of services ago. I said to you when I was preaching on that, that if I was David and a lion came and took one of those little sheep, I would have just counted that as a loss and went on. But he didn't. He went after him. Went after the lion and went after the bear. And the Bible says that I went out after him and I smote him and delivered out of his mouth. That is, he took the little lamb out of the mouth of the lion, out of the bear. I said when I was preaching on that, he probably slapped him right across the jaw and knocked the lamb out of his mouth. And then he said, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I grabbed him by the hair, by the beard, pulled him down to the ground, and I killed the lion and I killed the bear. Verse 36 says, Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, talking about Goliath, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Now listen to verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said, go and the Lord be with thee. David recognized that it was God who did it. And it was. Let me give an example of that, and I'll try to close. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. 2 Samuel chapter number 22, verse 1. David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song. In the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. And that is, David has been delivered from all his enemies. He starts singing a song. Here's his song. He said, The Lord, he's my rock and my fortress. And my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him I'll trust. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I'll call on the Lord, that is, he prayed, who's worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, verse 7, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry entered into his ear. God heard him. And he answered. There were times in battle that we read about a few moments ago when David was facing the enemy that he would call for a prophet or a priest and say, I need a word from God. God, do you want me to go up and fight the enemy or do you want me to hold back and stay still? There were times whenever it became obvious to David the word of God was that you need to run. Hence he left Jerusalem when Absalom rebelled against him. But there are other times when God said, go up. Go to battle. And I'll be with you. And he won the victory. The key is, he was listening to what God said. He obeyed the voice of God. What God told him to do, he did it. One step at a time. One battle at a time. And as a result of that, when it came down to the end, this beloved king was a victorious conqueror. How do you win the victory? You've got to listen to what God's saying. It doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. What is God saying? Well, listen. Man doesn't see like God does. Man does not see like God. If you're listening to folks who have not heard from God, then you're listening to the wrong voices. If you'll listen to what God is saying, listen to what David, he heard from God. He got a word from God, and he obeyed him. When you're pinned down by the enemy, when you're under attack, you better turn your ear towards heaven, not towards men. You better listen to what God is saying and just obey Him by faith. If you will, then you can win the victory. That is, you can be a real conqueror. David said one time, you remember this well, don't you? He said one time, the Lord is my shepherd. Guides me, directs me, protects me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't lack for anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He's the one, the emphasis on Him. He's the one who leads me beside the still waters. He's the one who restores my soul and has. He's the one who leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid. Fear no evil, because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You even prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even with the enemy all around, I can sit down and dine. Because of you, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Goodness and mercy, everywhere I go, it follows me. All the days of my life, everywhere I get, there's goodness and mercy awaiting me. David is saying, I'm living out a life that is dependent on the mercy of God and the goodness of God. And then in the end, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's beloved king, a conqueror, because the shepherd has a shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we pray the Spirit of God would move and take what we've seen and apply it to our lives. I pray that you'd work it into our hearts. Pray for those, Father, who are in the middle of a battle right now, that they would turn their heart towards you, their ears towards you, and begin to hear what it is that you're saying. God, I pray, Father, that you'd help us and encourage us with the example of this man of God that you used for your glory, that you protected, that you preserved, God, that you used. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your people. Thank you, Father, for what you're saying to us. I pray that you'd encourage every heart. God, I pray, Father, that you teach us how to live in victory, how to be overcomers. You've made us more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. So I pray that you teach us how to live in that victory, how to walk by faith. You've said in your word that God, the victory, the faith, the victory that we have is, Lord, because of faith, trusting in you, listening to you, and obeying you. Father, would you bless everyone here in a special way? Would you help each one of us, Lord, as we think about the direction of our life? We think about the battles that we face, the enemy that's against us, the spiritual warfare that we deal with. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.